All right, glad you guys are here. Tonight is a little bit different than all the other Sundays here at our church, so different may be really good for you, different may be kind of a bummer for you, but what we do is we just kind of take a Sunday to give thanks to God for all the good things that He did here in our church and just kind of take a minute to, before, you know, we always want to charge ahead in life, but it's always good to stop and reflect and think about the good things, the challenges and opportunities that God gave us over this last year. So we'll take a minute and do that together. Before we do it, though, let's pray and just give God thanks and ask Him to be, that we follow His lead in this next year. Father, thanks for the privilege of being able to come together like this. It's easy to take for granted just what a privilege it is to do this too. And especially on Sundays like this where the weather makes it a challenge to go anywhere. So thanks, Father, for these faithful people that made it out tonight. And I pray, Father, that You'd just really richly reward each person for their willingness to be here tonight. Lord, as we always want to think ahead and we always ask and hope for a prosperous 2023, but Lord, it's always good to give thanks because You showed up in so many different ways and so many good things that You allowed us to experience. So it's always good just to stop and give thanks for those things and just remember the, take a minute to remember the opportunities and the things that You taught us over the last year. So Lord, I pray that that tonight, not just the things on the screen, but also just in people's lives, that You'd give them the opportunity to think about You and how You were faithful, how You were present in our lives through all the things that we experienced this last year. So Lord, thanks for loving us and the opportunity to review this stuff. And I pray, Father, also just at the end, as we talk about prayer in particular, that You'd inspire us to be people of prayer, that we'd spend more time and figure out how to make that a bigger part of our life in the coming year. So Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' rich and amazing name. Amen. All right, so one of the things that I like to do, we haven't done this actually for 2 years. We did this last in 2020, so a little bit of a break. But one of the things I like to start with is just to give you a reminder of how long we subjected you to having to sit in church on Sunday mornings. So just out of curiosity, who do you think had the longest? You can go back. One of the great things is all of our messages from the last year are on our webpage. And if you want to subject yourself to listen to more of us speak, you can do that at any time. We're on Apple, on iTunes, and Spotify for our podcasts of our services too. But just out of curiosity, who do you think, you go back and you look the time grids, who was the longest person that subjected you to having to sit in here on a Sunday morning? Let's do a quick show of hands. How many of you think it was Dan? Raise your hand if you think Dan was long-winded, which he often is. But how about Corbett? Do I have any Corbett folks in here? A couple people. And do I have any fans that think I was the longest? Yeah, we got a couple people who think I was the longest. Well, the three longest services didn't belong to Corbett. They did not belong to me. And they did belong to Dan. Again, I think Dan has won this prize every single year that I've done this. And I've been here 15 years, so that's a lot of years that Dan has won. So 55 minutes and 47 seconds on April 15th. But I will say, you know what, I do have to say this about Dan. Dan has worked hard at bringing his messages down, and he has had a lot of less than 45-minute messages. Good for you, Dan. We're proud of you. So you can't teach an old dog new tricks, apparently. Okay, shortest service of the year. The four shortest services all belong to the same person. Anybody think it was Dan, that he won both prizes? No. You have no faith in Dan. Corbett, people think Corbett's short. It is the shortest person, though. It's not Dan, and it wasn't Corbett. It was Noah. 33 minutes on March 6th, talking about Peter being on trial, which was a great passage going back to our series that we did in John. All right, how many series did we do this last year? We typically average about 7. So let's just go with 5. How many of you think we did more than 5? Raise your hands. So we'll do the over-under at 5, less than 5, the rest of you. We did 5 this year, which is a low amount for us. It was great series to start the beginning of this year. We just went back and we did this series called The Word, and we just spent time thinking about the priority and the purpose of the Bible in our lives and why it's so important to build our lives and our worldview on it. And just, I mean, you think about all the questions that you have in life. So many of them are answered, and God gives us great direction in it. Just telling us about who he is, about what he has done for us, and just a great picture of what it means for us to follow him well. The other thing we did is we finally wrapped up our series in John, 65 weeks over the course of a couple years, because we started it back in the very beginning of 2000. So that was great to wrap up. And also we had a great short series in there in the book of Exodus. That was a lot of fun for us to do. One of the things that there's a lot of things that happened here during the year, but one of the things that I most look forward to every year is our core values classes. So we do four of them. Our first one is called Mission and Membership. And it's really, the class is designed to help you understand what the mission of Sierra Community Church is and what does it mean for you to be a member. If you've never done it before, we're going to do it again this month, the 21st, and it's a three-hour class. We'll have some information for you to sign up for that this next week. But it's a great class. We have a great turnout. If you haven't been there in a couple years, love for you to come back. That was the class. Graduates for that. Our 201 class that we did in February is all about spiritual disciplines and just like thinking, what are some practical things that I can employ in my life that'll help me grow in my relationship with God? It's a great class. There's the graduates for that. Our 301 class that John does really focuses on helping people think through how God is uniquely gifted everybody. And in a different capacity. I mean, every one of us has a different set of gifts and resources and tools that are available to us. And the idea is thinking about how can I employ those things to honor God, whether it's in my home, in our church, but particularly, how do I use those things where I work and where I play with other people? It's a great class. John does a great job with that. He does some great kind of object lessons stuff. Here's one of the things that they were doing. It's kind of a fun test tool thing that they have of working together. And then our fourth class is about sharing your story. And this class is really designed to do what I think is one of the hardest things in our world today, which is how do you talk to other people about Jesus and about who he is and how it would be good for them to have Jesus in their life as well. And so we really work at trying to help people understand what is God's story, what is your story, and how can you talk about those things in a clear, compelling, and a concise way with your family and your friends, you know, people that you work with, just the different people that you rub shoulders with. So we had a great graduate for that class too. Just a whole bunch of people graduated those classes. And if you haven't taken advantage of them, we'll do them again. And like I said, January will be the first one, February, March, and April. A lot of great classes. One of the things that is always hard, and the last 2 years in particular here at our church, is we had to say goodbye to a whole bunch of outstanding people. In fact, the person who has belonged to our church, the longest active living member, passed away this last year, but we also lost a lot of young people. 12 in all, we did funerals for people in our church here this last year. So without comment, I'll just put these great people that meant so much to us up on your screen. What an outstanding cast of people that meant so much to our church over the years and for the short time that they were with us. And heaven is a better place for them, but we certainly miss those people and those faces and what they meant to us. So those are people that we lost. One of the things that I just absolutely am thrilled about is some additions to our church, and two of them in particular. One is we added Allie as a assistant to Hillary downstairs, primarily doing nursery and other children's ministry stuff. She is really, she's got this rare combination of gifts that I think all of us would love to have. One is organization and administration. She is outstanding with, but she's also a great, she's just got outstanding people skills, and she loves people, makes people feel welcome and comfortable. Her smile light ups the room. I feel like our staff is as good as it has been in the 15 years that I've been here, and she is just a shining addition to our church. And it doesn't seem like it's been just this year, but Tim and Bethany moved back here, and Bethany, who leads worship for us up here, what a great addition they are in our family. She's amazing, super gifted, does a great job overseeing the worship ministry and all the different people that play a part in that. And one of the things that was interesting was we didn't have a worship director for about a year here, a little longer than a year. And Tim and Bethany used to be a part of our church community, and they moved to Florida to help take care of Tim's parents. And so when I reached out to them at the beginning, end of last year, end of 2021, I just said, hey, would you guys, I don't know where you're at in life, I don't know what's going on, but would you guys consider coming back and filling this position? And at the time, honestly, they were flattered and they appreciated it, but honestly, there were just so many obstacles that just didn't make it seem like it was going to be something that we were going to be able to pull off or that they could as well, although they love Tahoe, wanted to come back here. If you talk to Bethany and Tim, it's an amazing story how just all the different things that needed to fall into place that were outside of theirs and ours control just bing, 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 bing. Just amazing to see how God made it possible for them to be back here. In fact, they just bought a house down the street. So just super thankful for them. And it really was like a twofer, because not only is Bethany amazing, but Tim has taken our AV stuff, which was super shaky on Sundays, primarily because I was doing so much of it when I wasn't preaching. It has gone up so many notches. Tim has just been a huge blessing, and he's super savvy, just awesome. They've been a great addition. We lost a lot of things because of COVID, and some of those things that came back that were super nice. Our church picnic is something we always enjoy, and it is a blast, particularly because we get to do baptisms. And one of the things that it's a bummer that you guys don't get to hear all the stories about what God has done in people's lives to get them to the place of where they want to identify themselves as Christians and say, I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior and died for me, and I want people to know that I want to walk faithfully with him. So many good stories that I get to hear doing baptism stuff before we actually baptize people. And another one of those people who's here tonight is Frank. Another great story about what God did in his life. Unique story, one that you think you hear it all, but you don't. Amazing to hear how God finally, that last thing fell into place for Frank, and I was able to baptize him this last year, which was awesome. I really enjoyed the time of the conversations I had with him. So one thing that we hadn't done in 15 years that was so fun to do was acknowledge people that probably most of you don't see, but our children's ministry, which is amazing, has a great reputation here in town. And it's, you know, we have Hillary, but it's not just because of Hillary. We have a great youth ministry, but it's not just because of Corbett. They have recruited an amazing staff of people. And that's the staff that does our children's ministry stuff, Sunday school, and helps do junior high and high school stuff. And it is an amazing group of people. So we did a thank you night for them, had a food truck here, and just a great opportunity for them to celebrate together and just us be able to say thank you for all the things that they do. We do some things also that are, I think, just really, really important in our community. And one of them is our food bank here in town. We fill up a barrel out in our lobby a couple times a year for them. And the thing that I love about this is Nick has gone to the local food bank and he's talked to them and said, what are the times of year, because during Thanksgiving and Christmas, a lot of people want to donate to things like this. But there are a lot of times during the year where it's just not on people's radar and they don't get as many donations. And so those are the times of year that we put the barrel out there to make sure that people in town that need to take advantage of it can. We're also one of the hubs for the spring cleanup, and Nick oversees this as well. It's just another simple opportunity for us to rub shoulders and talk to people in our neighborhood and just help take care of the environment, the place that God has given us, and honor it, respect it, and take care of it. I would love to have a count of how many meals our church, and this is something that you guys do for people in our church community, that whether they've had operations or are sick, had babies, whatever the need is, that they, you know, just a simple practical way to bless people with food. Man, so many, I think more meals this last year than in any of the years that I've been at our church. We also filled up a barrel for the Ukraine for a ministry that we work with there. And that thing sat out there. We filled that thing up 4 times. And every time we filled up that barrel, it wasn't just full. People brought stuff all week long. I mean, they would make 2 trips to take it from here to where they shipped it, because it wouldn't fit all in the car each week. I mean, it was amazing how much stuff you guys brought. Last thing I'll tell you, just in terms of thanks. This is a little bit like a fire hose, right? Because there's so many things here. And I just like, I'm scratching the surface because we'd be here all night if I went through all these things. But last thing I just want to tell you about is for 20-something years, Tammy did Angel Tree. And for a number of reasons, logistically, we couldn't do it this year. And Tammy switched gears like that to be able to continue doing a gift-giving ministry for Christmas. And so that ended up being Tahoe Angels. And one of the things I think is great about this is we just kept this right here in town. So 95 moms, dads, and children's all got gifts that otherwise might not have had Christmases because of your guys' generosity. And not only people that brought gifts, but a ton of people came and helped wrap. People from our church delivered them. I mean, it was just amazing. Great thing that God did in and through our church. One of the unsung heroes of our church staff is John, and he is one of the hardest workers behind the scene, and there's so many different things that he does, and I want to talk about a couple of those, but this is the wrong place to tell you that. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. So, father-daughter, something that Corbett puts on every year, and part of the reason we do this is just we're huge at thinking about how to help families celebrate family. You know, you go back to the book of Genesis and you think about God's basic building block for a healthy world. And it wasn't 10 commandments because they had just 1 commandment, right? And it wasn't, God didn't set up a government. The first institution that God created to represent him was the family. And as you read through the scripture, that never changes. And so if you hear the different things that we talk about and preach on here on Sundays, certainly among the most important things to us is families. And having healthy families not only blesses our church, but it blesses your neighborhood and it blesses the world. That really is God's fundamental organizational design. And we want to do everything we can to celebrate and help encourage healthy families. It was nice to have a Good Friday service back in the building after 2 years of not being able to do that. This year, Hillary did this Christmas brunch, and we had a record number of people here for this. Talking about Hillary, the things that she does, probably 2 of the best events was this, and then, of course, our Vacation Bible School. And again, thinking about things that came back that we haven't done for a while, Vacation Bible School here on campus was amazing, and it only happens because of all the volunteers that helped pull it off. 15 years that I've been here, one of the people that I most enjoy working with day in and day out was Julie. So hard to say goodbye to Julie this last year. She left a huge hole in our lives and in our church ministry. But I will say this also. Katie has stepped up to work hard to make sure our women's ministry didn't miss a beat. And she's done an amazing job. One of the things that that she did here just earlier this year was brought in a speaker to talk about legacy. And one of the people they talked about was leaving a legacy with Julie. But the speaker was outstanding, and I got to be up in the sound booth for most of the message. And ladies, if you did not get to hear it, it was outstanding. And I would encourage guys, even though it was the women's event, it's online, I would highly encourage you to go listen to it, because she was outstanding and just a good reminder about what it is that your day-to-day living and what it looks like to honor God well, so that people, when they think about you and remember you, they'll remember you as a person who is passionate and took seriously every opportunity that God gave you to represent him well. So women's ministry stuff really, really prospered this year with the different studies and prayer meetings, all because Katie's really hard work on the team of ladies she put together with that. Now I'm going to tell you about John. Sorry about that. I got a little, like I said, I got a little ahead of myself. So two of the things that are just super fun is Man Day. Guys get together, shoot skeet, and they have a competition shooting skeets. And so you go to, you guys have all seen this. You go to places where they work, and they have like a rolling thing, and every day they flip the thing up, you know, one more day of safety at work with no accidents. I want to tell you, I think we've done this now for like 11 years, and nobody has ever been shot at our skeet shooting competition. The guys have a great time, and it's all because of John. The barbecue, the food is amazing. All the events that we have food here, John does an amazing job. The seniors ministry that I talked about earlier, they did a road trip this year that I begged John to let me go on. And he told me, even though I'm short and my hearing isn't very good, he says, I still don't qualify as a senior. So he didn't let me go to the biblical archaeology road trip that they did. But a lot of things that people don't see that are awesome here at our church are because of John's really hard work. All right. That was a snapshot of this last year. A couple of things I want to tell you about that we don't normally do this, but I want you to think about some things that we're super excited about for this coming up year. So one of them is I just this week did our once a year gift to the Bible Project, the videos that we use here at our church with youth ministry. We use them this last year in staff meeting. We watched a Bible Project video every week and just spent time talking about it. We use them in my college 20-somethings ministry. We use their stuff a ton, and I listen to their podcast that comes out every Monday. That is amazing. I mean, it's free seminary-level education that you can get for free, and it's outstanding. They're great. But we support 28 different missionaries that are working all across the world, I mean, everywhere. In every country around the world, every continent, I should say, around the world. It really is amazing. So fun. We had a couple of them in this last year, got to hear about their ministries. But the thing I want to tell you is every year we do a church budget and we talk about where we're going to allocate our money. This year, for this coming year, we were able to increase significantly the amount of money that we are sending to our missionaries. And here's the thing, the only reason that we're able to do this is to invest more money in missions this next year in our budget was because you guys are faithful and have been faithful, taking care of us and all the different staff that we have here, the facilities and supporting our missionaries. So thank you guys. Super excited to be able to make a bigger investment in missions this next year. Date night is something that we brought back, and it's super fun for people in our church. Again, support marriages. Go out and have a good time. We'll provide really good childcare for your kids so you could go out and have fun. But we're going to do it a little bit differently this year because the Nick, who oversees this, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to do at least one, maybe two, that is really specifically not just for people in our church, but we want to encourage you to talk to your friends and neighbors that could take advantage of a free night of childcare that don't normally come to church, to be able to come and drop their kids off and go have a date night on Sierra Community Church. Great outreach to get people that don't normally come to church to be able to come to church at a very, you know, something that's very easy for them to take advantage of. So we're super excited about that. Community groups is something that have been growing and growing and growing in our church over the last 2 years. If there's something beyond coming to church on Sunday that I personally want you involved in, it's this. Groups that meet every week or every other week, they're small, pretty small groups of people that gather together to support, encourage, share their gifts, their joys, their difficulties in life together. If you're not a part of one of them, we would love for you to be a part of our community groups. The number up there, you can text it. You can always email one of us on staff and we'll help. We'd love to just help connect you to one of these groups. This was our Christmas party. They all got together for a Christmas party. This was just this is a little more than half the people in our community groups that get together. So it's a great ministry. Again, love for you to be a part of it. If you use a QR code, you can just scan that right now with your phones and give you information to fill out, and we'll get back to you and help you make sure that you're involved in one of those groups. We did two different marriage classes this last year, a 10-week one and an 8-week one. I hope it was good for other people. I think we had like 35 people come to the two classes that we did. Heather, my wife, and I led those classes. I can't tell you how much good practical stuff was in there just for me and my wife. I mean, it was amazing. We're going to do that again in the spring, so keep your eyes out for that. That is something that we're excited about. Something that we're starting in 2 weeks here is an opportunity for moms with little kids to get together. We'll take care of the kids for you in the nursery, and moms get an opportunity just to spend time hanging out and talking and connecting. There'll be some snacks, a short devotional each week. That's going to be the second and fourth Thursdays of each week. So if that's something you want to sign up for, text that number on there. Text moms, and that way they know who's coming and how many kids are going to be there also. There's a QR code for that as well. Just super excited about that as well. I think it's big benefit for people in our church, but I think also it'll be a benefit for other people in our community as well. 0-3 years old down is the age for that. All right, one last thing I want to share with you guys, just thinking about this next year and an opportunity for you as you think about what you're, because we all have priorities. Every year, one of the things I do with Nick, who works on staff here, is I tell Nick, I say, I want you to go through this last year, and I want you to think about the things that you did, where you invested your time, what you were excited about, and thinking about this next year, where do you need to readjust your schedule to be more successful in the job that God has given you here? So he and I sit down and spend some time thinking about that. We all have priorities in our life, even if we don't examine them. If I got to spend a week with you, I could tell you what's important to you because it's what you spend your money on and it's what you spend your time doing. And so in the past, I've talked about especially things like, I've talked about like how important it is to spend time in the Word each day, spending time reading the Bible regularly, how important that is as a foundation for your life. So I want to talk about something a little bit different this year, priority-wise, for you. Because We all, I think one of the natural things that happens in our life is the new year, we want to make healthy changes, right? And I go to the gym 4, sometimes 5 times a week religiously, and it doesn't matter what's going on, but I'm always there. But the hardest time of the year for me to go is this first month because it's crazy crowded with all these people that sign up that are positive they're going to make a healthy change in their life this year. And one of the funny things is I belong to the same gym now for a couple of years. And it's funny because the first 2 months of the year, I see the same people that come back and they're there for 2 months and then I don't see them again, right? So I want to think about change in our lives that you can make and prioritize to help you really make the most of this next year in terms of centering your life around God and his priorities and honoring him. Most of us, I think, we think about life like this, and we would love life to be like, here's where I am in 2023, right at the beginning, and I've got this goal of these things that I want to enjoy and accomplish, and that's what the ride is going to look like. Unfortunately, we all know that our plans of what we want life to look like are rarely what God's plans for our life are, right? God's got a whole different program for us. And the reality is think about as much as you would like to control every day of your life, think about how little you actually do control. And so much of life is responding to difficulties, challenges that come along that are, I mean, totally unexpected. And a lot of them are things that you would never choose to have to go through in your life, right? But it's really interesting because James, one of the guys who writes one of the smaller books in our New Testament, James says this about challenges in our life. He says, consider it, I mean, this is crazy. He says, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you experience trials of various kinds. Just out of curiosity, we did raise your hand. How many of you have that attitude of pure joy when you experience challenges, unexpected trials in your life? A bunch of honest people in here. Because I don't know. I mean, I certainly am still trying to figure this one out in my own life. If God's program to grow us, to be the people that he made us to be, is to use difficulties, challenges, and trials in our life, most of us don't want to have anything to do with that. We love peace and pleasure and ease and comfort, and we'll do everything to pursue those things and our best to ignore difficulties. But here's the crazy thing. If God wants to do a good work in your life, and part of that is to use challenges, I think one of the greatest gifts that you can experience in life is when we can learn to adjust our attitude about those things and be able to say, it is for God's good pleasure to grow me to be the man or woman that God made for us to be, and this is his program of growth. And when we can adjust our thinking to be able to embrace those things, I don't want to say life gets easier, but think about how many times you have to experience the same pain or difficulty in life. And part of that, I wonder, is just because God's saying, you haven't learned your lesson, right? I've given you all these opportunities and you still haven't figured it out. So that's why you're experiencing the same test. I think one of the great things you can do as you think about your life is, how do I make adjustments in my life so that when difficulties or trials come along, I can embrace them and celebrate them, to be able to say, God's got something good that he's doing in my life through this. I think the greatest single enemy that we experience in our lives that makes it difficult for us to stay close to God is busyness. John Mark Comer, in his book, it's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's a great book. He says this. He says, Corrie ten Boom once said, that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. I think there's a lot of truth in that. And here's the thing. He says, both sin and busyness They have the exact same effect. See, they cut off your own connection to God, to other people, and even your own soul. And so one of the things I encourage you to think about for this next year, to stay connected, especially in your own soul, to God, is I really want to encourage you to figure out how to create margins in your life to be able to pray. So there's two ways. I'll give you two practical examples here in closing, just thinking about this. One of the things that I realized when I first got married was how easy it was for me to take the challenges of my work day in the front door with me. And in doing that, it made it difficult for me to give my whole heart and attention to my wife and then my kids. I've got 5 kids. And so one of the things that somebody told me years and years ago is don't do that. And so one of the things that I do is when I come to work in the morning, no podcast, no music, nothing. I pray and I ask God to be my peace and my strength, give me wisdom for the challenges that I'm going to face that day. And I do the same thing when I go home. I don't live very far from the church, and I'll drive home, but I do the exact same thing. I just say, you know what, Lord, I try and give thanks for the good things that I got to experience and do on his behalf during the day. But I also say, you know what, Lord, I want to be fully present when I get home as a husband and as a dad. And sometimes I'm not in a place where I can walk in the door and do that. So I'll sit in the driveway in my car because I'm not going to go in until I'm ready to be present. And all of my kids throughout the years, when they're growing up, they'll ask Heather, my wife, they'll go, how come Dad is sitting in the driveway in his car? And she makes me tell each one of the kids when they're ready why. And I tell them. Because sometimes it takes me longer to get in that place. I have to spend more time praying than just the distance between here and my house. Because I really want to be everything God made me to be for my home. And so I've created a little bit of a margin to be able to spend time praying and asking God for help to be able to do that. The other area where I've tried to adjust my life and my schedule is just I used to sort of stack my meetings because I wanted to be productive. Right? I wanted to do the most with my day, so I would just stack my meetings on top of each other. Boom, 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 my projects. And one of the things I've done now is figured out it's difficult for me to give my best to people if I don't have any space between those meetings, so I carve out at least 10 minutes between each project or each counseling meeting, whatever I'm doing, just to be able to pray, and that's what I do. So I do that several times during the day. So, and the neat thing about that is after a counseling appointment, for instance, it's great to be able to stop and just pray for the people that I just met with or celebrate a premarital counseling and talk about the good, just thank God for the good things that I'm excited about in their life and what a privilege and a blessing it is to be able to do some of the things I get to do. I finish a project. I don't want to just rush on to the next project. I want to stop and just go really quickly. Thanks, Lord, for giving me the gifts and the ability and the time to be able to do this. So I finished that slide last night for the moms with young kids. And it was 11:30 at night. And you know what? I just stopped and I said, thanks, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to talk about something, to be able to put something together that I want you to bless for the moms that are going to take advantage. I don't know who's going to take advantage of it. I don't know how it's going to be a good thing, but I before I went to bed, I got done with that project. I want to be in the habit of stopping and saying, thank you, Lord. Or if I'm about to go into a counseling meeting, think about this. If you're doing a counseling meeting and you have a couple or a person coming into your office and you have no idea, because everybody's different, everybody's experiencing different things. They come into your office And you don't know what challenges or difficulties are going through. Wouldn't it be nice to get a heads up, like a written outline of exactly what's going on in people's lives? But you don't get that. And it's not even helpful because you want to sit and see people face to face. But you want to talk about intimidating? Sit down in an office with people and you have no idea what's going on in their life. And you have no idea what it's going to take for you to be able to give them some wisdom, peace, strength for what they're working through, the challenges they're working through. So you better believe before my counseling appointments now, every week I pray and I say, you know what, Lord, thanks for the wisdom and the things that I've experienced and the gifts that you've given me to be able to do this, but I need your wisdom right now. I need your help to be able to be the best I can be. So Lord, would you give me your wisdom to be able to be the best for these people? James says this. He says, if any of you, put God to the test. I encourage you to do this. If God says, do this, give God the opportunity to do this in your life. If any of you lack wisdom, again, raise your hand. Anybody ever feel like they lack wisdom day in and day out? Now we're all going to raise our hands, right? We need more of the blessing and the insight that God can give us because the Spirit is alive and working in our life. Ask him for help. Why? Because he gives, I love this, God doesn't like parcel out a little bit. He says he gives generously without, man, this is good for me because there's a lot of reasons God could find fault with me, without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. Figure out how to create a little more margins in 2023 to rely on God and invite him and his presence into your life this year. Lord, thanks so much for the opportunity to get together. Thanks for the opportunity just to be reminded of, I mean, it is, it's a huge privilege to be a part of Sierra Community Church. And so many of the great things that happen here happen because of the faithful people that not just give financially, but especially give their time and their gifts to help make this place the amazing place it is. So thanks just for the opportunity to reflect on those things. Thinking about the people that we lost over this last year, thank you, Lord, for the people you put in our lives and the gift it is to walk alongside those people. Help us to make the most of every day, walking alongside the people that you put in our lives because we have no idea how many days you'll give us. So, Lord, thank you. And that's the thing we'd ask, that you would be our peace and our strength and give us wisdom in this coming year. Thanks for loving us, Lord. Amen. All right, thanks, guys, for coming. We're going to just spend a little more time worshiping, and the ushers are going to come forward right now and take our offering. God bless you guys, and have a great new year.